Okay. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. All right. Well, we've already prayed, so I forgot. Y'all gonna have to help me remember to hit that record button. All right. Anybody got any prayer requests? Hey, Lakeisha. Y'all
hey,
look.
Hey, everybody.
Y'all look. Hi. There's Lakeisha.
Hi, Lakeisha.
Hey. Hi, Lakeisha.
There's Vanessa. Marlon and Gano. Judy. Hi, Judy.
Hi, Judy.
Joe, there's Joe up there right up above you, Lakeisha. All right. Who was that just came in? Who's the one that just came in? 423 number. Just came in. Can you hear me, Lakeisha?
Yes.
Okay. Who just came in, local, just came in?
What's the number?
4906.
Oh, that's me.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Am I on there twice or something?
Yeah. Well, I can see you, but your telephone is showing up over here, too. That's all right. I can get your name. All right. Anybody got any prayer requests for tonight? All right. I'm going to mute everybody. So if you want to talk, you have to unmute yourself. So we can hear. All right. Anybody got any prayer requests?
Michael?
Yes.
Can we pray for my Aunt Dorothy? I'm still up in Michigan. My cousin Ben is Marlene's son that I'm staying with. And he had just told me that his dad had told him that Marlene's mom is not doing well, my Aunt Dorothy. They took her off of all the medication, and she's developed some bed sores, and she's not really eating. And she's on hospice, and I think they're having nurse aides come in 3 times a week now, but the only thing they're keeping her on is the oxygen.
Who is this? Marlene's mother? Marlene's mother?
Yes, sir. My Aunt Dorothy, Marlene's mom, Dorothy.
Yeah. Well, I asked her to give me a call this afternoon. I wanted her to answer a few questions for me. Is her mom ready to go, or is she not ready to go?
I'm not sure. I know Marlene had told me that she had said, asked her recently, who is your savior? And she says Jesus.
Does she want to live, or does she want to go home? That's the question I'm asking. Or do you know?
I don't really know, and she's not really talking that much now.
Okay.
And she's in a lot of pain.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Father, we lift up Dorothy to you and Marlene's mother, and we thank you, Lord, for the work you've done in her. We thank you for the cleansing her of any unforgiveness, Lord. Lord, we don't know what to pray for other than to take the pain away. We ask that you take the pain away from Dorothy. And we command that pain to go from her right now in the name of Jesus. Father, and if she's ready and she wants to come home, you know, just... And Marlene's ready to give her up, Lord, just take her on home. But if not, get rid of the pain. In Jesus' name. You think that's good enough, Jackie?
Amen. And may me give strength for Marlene.
Huh?
May me give strength for Marlene to get through this.
Yes. Lord, we thank you for putting joy and peace in Marlene's heart, Lord. Rest in her, Lord, that... whatever happens, Lord, that she's going to be with her mom. And Father, I thank you that you're going to place in her a peace in her heart, a real peace, Lord. If you just touch Marlene, she's had a long, hard road here with her mom, Lord. And I thank you that you're going to do that for her in Jesus' name. You know, Lord is the only one that can do that. Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Anybody else want to pray?
Amen. Thank you.
Okay. Stan, what is that fuzzy thing? That's a dog. Okay.
Yeah, that's Lizzie.
I couldn't see the head. All I could see was just fuzz up on the top there. Yeah. All right. Praise God. All right. Anybody else want to pray? Or would like to pray about something? Hi, Bill. Okay, let's pray a little bit here. Lord, we thank you that you've given us authority. You told us to pray about certain things in this nation, about this nation, and for this nation. Father, you ask us to pray that we would have 3.5 years of relative peace from the government on your Christian people, brothers and sisters. And Lord, we thank you that Trump's going to go in there and it's going to be an awesome time, Lord. Not that he's any kind of a savior, he's not, but he would grant us a little bit of rest, Lord, during the revival time. And Father, we thank you for doing that. We thank you, Lord, for dropping out all of this evil and corrupt government. I don't know how you're going to take care of it, but I kind of believe you're going to do it like Ken Dewey, like you told him, it looks like. And that'd be fine. You know, just have how you want to take care of it, Lord. Get rid of the evil people. And that would put the fear of God, Lord. To me, that would put the fear of God in a lot of people. And they wouldn't be interfering, Lord. And I thank you for a peace for your people in the next 3.5 years in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Well, all right. What are you doing, Lakeisha? I see your hand. Oh, she's trying to hide now. Okay. All right. Anybody else want to pray? Okay. She's got her hand ready. Okay, Judy. Wait a minute. Hang on. Let me see if I. You're on. You got to unmute yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Can't hear you. Hang on. Okay. Now I can hear you.
Okay. Well, I wanted to pray about my daughter. She started her new job yesterday, but she's all worried. There's a lot to learn and a lot to do. So, Lord, I just want to bring Angie up to you, that you open her mind to remember the things that are going on and the things she needs to learn. Open her mind and slow her mind down so that she can understand things and be with her as she learns the different routines and the things that she has to do, Lord, and let her know that you're with her. Give her patience and give her peacefulness and just let her know that you're with her, Lord. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Anybody else want to pray? How about a testimony or a praise report? Now, don't be shy on this thing. Praise report we got here in East Tennessee is that we got a rain. Praise God. Finally. Finally got a good rain. Going to get another tonight. And it may be raining out there right now. I don't know. If y'all heard the news that Gatlinburg had to evacuate because of the wildfires around them and in them over there. But hopefully this rain shut the fires down. I hope so anyway. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. All right. Anybody else?
Michael, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
For some reason, I got a cam and it works great, but the headset with the mic doesn't, so I'm using my phone and
okay.
Both. I was going to say that next, the end of next week, they just said that the highs are going to be in the 30s for Little Rock. Winter's on its way.
That's cold.
I just want to give a praise testimony to God for being so good to me and just helping me in everything in my life. And, takes really good care of me, and I love him with all my heart. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We've another praise report we have is we've had a let's see. It looks like that some of the people that have factioned out are starting to repent. That's a good thing. We've gotten word from at least one of them that's repenting and been humbled. And praise God, our prayers are being answered for that. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anybody else? Hey, David.
Hi, Michael. Still getting used to this thing.
Yeah, me too. All right. The question was, let me find my notebook. What was the question? You know, I've been reading a book by John Owens. He's a guy that lived back in the 1600s, and it's called Communing with God or something similar to that. And it is an outstanding book, best I can tell so far. Well, I got to find out where I wrote it down. There it is. No. Oh, yeah, here it is. Okay, Judy. Oh, you're just going to tell me what it was? Okay. Are the world elite or the New World Order planning a big false flag event before the inauguration of Trump in order to have martial law in the USA in order to keep Obama in as president? That was the question we got that we asked. Anybody get a word? Boy, it's going to be a long night if y'all didn't get a word. I'm going to tell you something. Jeremiah 32. And I had him. Nobody got a word? I know Marlon Gano did.
Hey, Michael?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what I got for a word. I'm not sure if I know that it answers that question, but mine was in Jeremiah 28 and verses 13 and 14 is where I put my finger on. But if you read before that, this prophet, Jeremiah, was prophesying that good things were going to come and that the Lord was going to take them out of, that he was going to take them out of the captivity they were in. But the Lord told Jeremiah that that was false, that he was not, that the Lord would put them there, so he was going to keep them there. And so I'll just read 13 and 14.
13 and 14.
Yeah. Go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, thou hast broken the bars of wood, but thou hast made in their stead bars of iron. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all the nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him, and I have given him the beasts of the field also. And then if you go on, read further down, the Lord told Jeremiah that he was going to take Hananiah, and he did. In the last verse, he said he died.
What do you think he's talking about there?
Well, honestly, I'm not sure. I mean, you could take a different view.
Anybody else see anything there regarding the question?
What were those passages again?
Jeremiah 28, 13, and 14.
You said Jeremiah 28, didn't you, Michael?
Is that what it was or not?
Yeah.
Yeah, I said Jeremiah 28.
Okay.
13 and 14, right?
Right.
What y'all see there? It looks like he's going to do something, doesn't it? According to those scriptures. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Who's Nebuchadnezzar? That's Obama. And they shall serve him, and I have given him the beasts of the field also. But what we know, even though we know he's in charge right now, that he's not going to be in charge here shortly. But right now, he does. He has that type of power. But I'm not sure it really tells us anything about the false flag. I believe he's, you know, maybe. Let's see what happens as we go along. That may come into play here a little bit later. Anybody else get one?
I got one, but I think also what you were talking about, it sounds like nobody's been able to take Obama off his throne either. He's pretty much had the absolute rule. So he's acting like that Nebuchadnezzar. You know, there's nothing that can stand in his way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If you remember what stood in Nebuchadnezzar's way was God. Remember what happened?
Yeah, yeah. Pride.
Yeah, he had to go out there and eat grass for a while. But this is a type and a shadow, and I believe that from the prophecies we've gotten, the dreams that we've gotten, is that Obama's not going to fulfill his office. He's not going to go to the end, it looks like, according to what we've seen in dreams and visions. He's not going to go to January the 20th. Before the Lord takes care of business. That's what we're seeing. I don't know. You know, we just have to put that out there just in case.
I might have got something for Trump here just a minute ago.
Okay.
I got 1 Kings 10, 23 and 24. And again, this is the Amplified Bible. It goes like this. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth in wealth and in wisdom. All the earth was seeking the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his mind.
Okay, what was that reference again?
1 Kings 10, verse 22 and 23. No, excuse me. I read 23 and 24. 1 Kings 10, 23 and 24.
Okay, what'd that tell you?
Looks to me, it sounds a lot like Trump because he exceeds him in wisdom as far as how he's been able to manipulate everything all up to this point and work around all the barriers he's had to work around between the Republicans and now the Democrats. He's having to work around that in the press. He's doing well with that, even though it's a battle, and he has the wealth on the earth. And then now the whole earth is, you know, they're just waiting to see what he's got to say. And they know that this wisdom is coming from God. At least we do.
Okay. All right. What is that, Tracy?
Hey, how you doing, Michael?
Hey, doing fine.
Hey, family. God bless you guys. I got Ezekiel 4:5. And it says, "For I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity, according to the number of the days, 390 days. So shall thou bear the iniquity of the house of Israel."
All right, what chapter was that?
Ezekiel 4:5.
Okay. What do you think it says?
I'm trying to use some discernment here.
Well, we're getting some odd things tonight on this particular question.
Maybe that's on purpose.
Maybe so. Maybe the Lord, you know, I believe the Lord's already told us in these prophecies we've seen. But I wanted to get some little more confirmation here. Okay, well, let's see where all this goes to. Y'all see the chat over here? Tracy put hers on the chat thing. When you give your verse, hang on, let us get there before you start telling us or reciting it. I'd like to get over there and read it, will you? Okay, anybody else?
I was going to say what Tracy brought up might have something to do with how the last 2,000 years since the Earth Church has been kind of doing its own thing. This has kind of been a judgment on part of the what we don't see happening in the church today.
Yeah, could be. Well, yeah, you know, that's a good idea, David, to just not be boxed in on a question, just see what the Lord's telling us. That's good. Okay. All right, anybody else?
I can give what I got, Michael.
Okay, what you got, Gaino?
I put my finger on Romans chapter 9, verse 15, but I'd like to read from 14 through 18.
Okay.
What shall we say, therefore? Is there unrighteousness with God? Be it not so. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that hath mercy. For the scripture saith to Pharaoh, that for this very thing did I raise thee up, that I might show in thee my power, and that my name be published abroad in all the earth. So then he hath mercy on whom he will, and whom he will, he hardeneth. I'd also like to read verse 21.
Okay.
Or hath not the potter authority over the clay from the same lump to make one part a vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? I just felt that shows Lord's, you know, that he's sovereign overall, no matter what. He's sovereign.
Absolutely. Well, that's spot on. That's spot on. It's the Red Sea. It's the Red Sea scenario here. You know, we're going through the Red Sea, right? We go through the Red Sea. We're trying to get across to the other side. But Pharaoh's right hot on our tail here. He's after us. but God, you know, but God. We got through. Moses once got through to the other side. And then what happened? Pharaoh's army was taken care of all in one wave. Right? That's what we're looking at right here with Obama. God said that's what he's going to do. He's going to do basically the same thing. He's going to let Obama think he's coming back and capturing the people and taking them back under with martial law and stuff. And then God's going to get the glory for taking care of all these evil people. That's what I'm seeing. That's what, you know, we've looked at here. This is good here. That's the very same thing that David was talking about the other night. And that number 21, yep. Or hath not the potter right over the clay from the same lump to make one part a vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? He's making Trump a vessel of honor. And then he's going to Obama a vessel of dishonor. We're going to see that. We're going to see. God said he's going to get the glory for this thing. It's not going to be man. It's not going to be man that does anything. It's going to be God. And then we're going to see revival result from it. All right. That's good. Anybody else? I got Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah 32. Now my finger was on 20. Let me see what I'm going to read. I think I'm going to read from 17 to 23. Let's see what that does. 17 through 23. All right, let me see. Somebody's not muted. That's Lakeisha. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Y'all ready? Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and by thine outstretched arm. There's nothing too hard for thee, who showest loving kindness unto thousands and recompense the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Great in counsel and mighty in work, whose eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Now here's where I had my finger on, 20. Who did a set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day, both in Israel and among other men, and madest thee a name this day, and didst bring forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders and with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm and with great terror, and gavest them this land which thou didst swear to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. Well, praise God. That's the same thing that Cano had, basically. Basically the same thing. God's going to do something here. All right, anybody else get a word? Or anybody else want to expound on what we just talked about? You getting booted off, Jackie?
Yes, sir, I am. I keep getting booted off about 3 times. And my tablet keeps freezing, and then you sound like you're talking through a banjo.
Well,
it boots off, and then I have to get back on. I don't know if it's me or if it's the internet.
Sounds like the internet.
That's happening to you guys too.
It sounds like your internet.
Well, my cousin said sometimes it's not the best internet connection up here.
Well, that makes sense. That's what happens when you don't have a good internet connection. It starts freezing up and dropping out. But we can see you and we can hear you right now. But you froze up. You froze. Okay, anybody else? You might want to call in, Jackie.
Okay. Amen.
So
I'll just keep coming back in.
Okay.
Also, if she turns off her video, that'll help.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. Put it up again. I'll call.
Okay. Yeah, I can see you now. Say something.
To me?
Yeah. I can hear you now.
Hi.
Hello. All right. Anybody else get a word?
Yeah, Michael, can you hear me?
Just barely. You kind of messed up. Is that you, Lakeisha?
Is she remixed?
Oh, is that Barbara?
No, it's Vanessa.
Oh, yeah, I can hear you, Vanessa.
Oh, okay. Well, I never knew about the question, but this morning I got a word for tonight, just whatever God wanted to say. So I got Matthew 24:22. And I'll wait.
Yeah, thank you. All right.
And except those days should be shortened, no flesh would have been saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened.
Now, I didn't want to hear that.
I know.
That's one of those we don't want to hear. Okay. Well, go ahead, Vanessa.
Well, then... But it says for the elect's sake, they're shortened. So,
yep.
But then after that, it says, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or here, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect.
Amen. Yep.
Anyway, then he says, Behold, I have told you beforehand. If therefore they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the wilderness, go not forth. Behold, he is in the inner chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning comes forth from the east and is seen even into the west, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. So I thought, well, it has a happy ending.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, Lord. You know, the Lord's been telling us in the morning prayer meetings, there are, it seems to be that there are some people that are not, well, I don't know how to say this, that still have a lot of world in them. And he's warning people about the world, getting the world out of your life, and also the flesh out of your life. Now, I'm not talking to y'all, you know, individually. I'm just saying this is what the Lord is telling us. Now, this is, of course, alluding to the local UBM, and I think it's also in the outreach, too, where we ought to all be running after the Lord. He said that some who think they're going to be in the bride, who think they're going to be in the man-child ministry, are going to find out that, in fact, they're not, because of their, oh, how should I say, lackadaisical attitude toward the Lord, and still wanting to do things in the world and in the flesh, to, you know, things like saving money, doing, you know, certain things like that, running to Egypt, not having faith, not doing faith, not even trying to use faith, to use the Lord as our supply. You know, we get a little low of money here. We don't worry about it. We know the Lord's going to, you know, he's going to provide. And he always has. And he always will. I've told you about times that the Lord has just placed money in my billfold. Just in the last few months, I can't tell you how many hundreds of dollars have just showed up in my billfold. I like that kind of work. You know what I'm talking about? That's good stuff. But you've got to be faithful with your money in order for that to happen. Somebody has a need, you give, don't you? You have a brother or sister that has a need, you give. You don't hoard it all for yourself. You don't fellowship or keep away from fellowship from, you know, like people that believe like we do. We love to fellowship with one another. It's when people draw back that they get in trouble and they don't want to fellowship anymore. And that's what God's warning us. He's warning us to get rid of all of this stuff. We don't need all that stuff. We're going into a time where you're going to have faith, or you ain't going to make it. You know, and that's kind of what the Lord's telling us right now. If you want to be in the bride, give up the world. That's die. Go to the cross. Get them nails in your hands and your feet so you can't come down off that cross. That's what he wants. Is anybody getting the same thing as far as what the Lord's telling you?
Yeah.
Who is that?
Vanessa.
Yeah, okay, Vanessa. Is that what he's telling you?
Yeah. Yes, what I've been hearing. Yeah, he's saying that.
All right. Well, praise God. Gaynell, did you have something you wanted to add?
Well, I was going to share the second verse that I got. It really went along with what you just shared.
Okay.
From Isaiah chapter 1. And my finger was on verse 17, but I'm going to read 16 through 18.
All right. All right, I'm there.
Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek justice, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool.
Amen. That's it. You know, it's do you want to commune with God more than you do anything else? You know, the joy that I have sometimes with the Lord, I want to be with him all the time. I want that. I don't necessarily get that away a lot, but I sure want it. I strive for it. And I think that's what the Lord wants us, and I believe we're going to do that in the days ahead. That glory is going to be on you all the time. He's going to be leading you. And that glory is going to be with you at all times. But you have to want it. You have to pull from your heart out of the Lord, you know. Anybody else get like that? Do you like to get in the presence of the Lord?
Absolutely. Hey, yeah. Can I ask you, what was that prayer for the money to come in the billfold?
The what now?
I said, can we get that prayer where the money, you know, appears in the billfold? Can we get that prayer so we can write it down?
You'll have to tell me which one it was. I forget.
You was talking about the money appearing in your wallet, in your billfold.
Oh, well.
I said, can we get that prayer?
No, it's no prayer. You know, it's no prayer. I give and the Lord gives back. I'll just tell you what happened. This has happened for the last 5 years since I've been in Tennessee. If I need money, the money's there. It makes no difference, you know. I don't worry about, you know, how much I got or anything else. Last time it was, I believe it was $500 he put in my billfold. And I really didn't need it, but it was there. And that's what he added to it. And I just praise God, you know. I don't worry about money. I don't. If I worried about money, I'd be worrying all the time. Because y'all know as well as I do, I don't make any money here. It's whatever God gives me. And so, but God is so good. He takes, and David's the same way. Money just comes in. That money just comes in. I don't look for it. I will check every now and then just to see.
That won't hurt the check, will it?
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, I will. I'll check it every now and then just to see. But it's a blessing, and I know that God's going to take care of me. And he's going to take care of the people around you, too. He's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of the people around you. Whatever the need is, God's going to provide. That's what he's going to do. Now, that money's not for me. You know, it's to help anybody that needs help. I don't spend a lot of money. I go to Arkansas every 2 or 3 months, but that's about it. All right. Has anybody else ever had an experience like that where money just shows up when you needed it? Lakeisha. Okay, Lakeisha. I know she's going to say something here in a minute. Where'd you go, Lakeisha?
How do I?
There you are.
Oh, you can hear me now. Okay.
I can hear you. Well, what is that? What does she have to hit on her phone, Tracy?
Connect audio via device or computer. There should be.
No, I'm talking, she's on her phone also.
Can you hear?
Okay.
Can y'all hear?
Yep.
Well, there is one day. What, since I've been here, I was hungry, but I didn't want to tell anybody that I only had like $10 left to my name to buy groceries for 2 weeks. So I was like, Lord, can you please send me some money or food, you know, and feed me? You know, that's really what I said. And that day I got a letter in the mail from my bank account, which I had already closed, but apparently they had owed me some money. So I got some money back, which is great. And I was able to go grocery shopping.
Praise God. Praise God.
Yeah.
Listen. Let's see. I thought I saw Matt and Anna come in. I guess not. All right. Thank you, Lakeisha. Anybody else? Hi, Jeremy.
How you guys doing tonight?
Oh, we're blessed, brother.
Amen.
Beyond our wildest dreams.
Well, don't you know that you are rich?
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, does anybody else get a word? Vanessa, you had your hand up. You got some money too or something from the Lord? What was it? Let me unmute you.
Okay. Well, this was years ago, and we were living in California, an apartment, and me and my husband and our kids, and I wasn't working, and we were having, hard times sometimes paying our rent, and it was $500 back in the early 80s. And that's California. So we were late, and I don't remember how late we were for the month, but my husband went and talked to the manager that was there taking care of the stuff right there in the apartment building, and said he was saying, I don't know when we'll be able to pay you or something like that. And the man said, somebody already paid it. And we still to this day don't know what happened.
Really?
Yeah. So praise you, Father.
Praise God, yeah. That's always nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yep. All right, anybody else with a testimony similar to that?
Yeah, Michael, we've had a couple times when we had money come when we had no idea it was coming. This come from way back, we had no idea that anybody would even notice money anymore, and we had money come a couple times that way.
Awesome. God's good.
He's sick.
What's that?
May I share something with you guys?
Yeah.
Amen. I guess it was about, I don't know, 2 years ago or so. It's on Christmas Eve, actually. I had gone up to a Walmart, and everything kind of went. It was the last minute Christmas shop, but, everything kind of went awry. And I was pulling into a parking space. If you've ever been to, Walmart on Christmas Eve, parking spaces are a value commodity, no. Right? Like, you need to take up parking spaces. So apparently I was going to pull into one that another gentleman had mentally claimed from the aisle over, and that he was trying to get there before I was. So I pulled into it, and he comes in behind me and wants to, have a go at me, and had some choice words to say. And I generally carried a firearm with me at the time. And I remembered all of a sudden, I don't have that. And then I just thought, well, why would I need that? And so I got out and I started saying, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Before I could even get that out, he peeled away. That's the start of it. I'm walking through Walmart, right? Walking through Walmart, and I got last minute Christmas because I think in her heating blanket because she's small and she gets cold, right? And so I'm in there and I get a whole cart full of stuff. And I go to pay for it. I don't have a wallet. I have no idea where it's at. And I've been bumped into several times, right? Stuff is about that. Ain't a clue. I waited around there for probably about another hour or so. Couldn't find it. Went out, checked everywhere. Have no idea till this day where it came from. Maybe it fell out when I jumped out to rebuke that guy. I have no idea. But I was upset because at the time I carried a house key, right, in my wallet, had my social security number, had all my credit cards, had gift cards.
Oh, my.
I pretty much had everything. I'm a retina scan, blood type, you name it, right? All that stuff's in my wallet. So I get home. I'm dismayed. I had $60 in cash. And I prayed about it. And remembered that he is true and just to fulfill his promise, and that you shouldn't go, consider the lily, right? Solomon in all his glory couldn't compare to the lily. And so if you rest in him, rest in faith, then he'll provide for you. So now here comes Christmas Day. Now, mind you, I had $60 in my wallet. The total amount that I was given, gifted by family, was $120, right? Furthermore, the very next day, I guess it was on January 1st when the mail got here, I received a package in the mail that said this was found somewhere in counties over, right? Counties over, Merry Christmas from the post office. And it was my wallet with everything in it but the $60.
Oh, bills,
credit cards, you name it. Everything was in there.
Awesome. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. And see, that's what the Lord will do if you just let him.
Yeah.
We have to let go and let him.
Yeah. Praise God. That's awesome. Amen. Anybody else? How long did it take it to get to you, Jeremy?
Lost it on Christmas Eve, got it on January 1st.
Right,
they said somebody grabbed it and just took the cash out. You know, this is before they have microchips in the cards.
Yeah.
Right. So they could have feasibly run up a lot. So there's gift cards in there, all sorts of things. I mean, even my house key with my address on it. So, specifically, they had no. I had to go out and buy new locks. Right. I didn't have any credit cards. I had nothing. No cash. I had to go out and buy new locks. Digging through my couch, looking for change, trying to find cheap locks because somebody else. And then I get my house key back. I was almost kind of disappointed, to be honest. But, you know, either way, we have new locks. Praise God.
Awesome. God is good. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else with a good story?
What about gas, Michael? Didn't you tell a story about how you guys rarely get gas, but there's always gas in the car?
David, I'll tell you what. He runs around on an empty tank about half the time. And I'm not there yet, okay? On the gasoline. But he'll ask me, you know, you want to go in your truck or my truck? You know, we're going his truck. Well, I look over and I say, how much gas you got in your truck? You know?
Right.
I have to ask him. So I don't know. And he never knows, you know. And most of the time he runs on empty. So I just get in. I quit arguing with him about which one to take or anything. If he wants to take his truck, we'll take his truck. And I know we're going to get back. We always have.
Right. Praise God.
He's teaching me faith on gas. I've seen a lot of miracles with mechanical problems in cars. We just had one the other day. We had a couple up here from where are they from? I can't hear you. Indiana? Wisconsin. Yeah, Illinois and Wisconsin. And his van had a small leak in one of the water hoses that goes down to the water pump. It's one of those things that you have to just about pull everything off. You pull a part of the hood off. You pull not the hood, but the cowling on the front there, and you pull a you just got to almost tear the silly thing down to get to it. And so we worked on it for about an hour or so, trying to figure out how I was going to do it, you know. And then I went in there. I said, "This is crazy. Let me go in there and look on YouTube." And I get on YouTube and I see this guy pulling stuff off. You know, he's just throwing things everywhere. You know, I mean, it's just one of those kind of videos where it looked like he's almost about ready to tear the motor down to get to this thing. And I said, y'all want to do that? I called him up there. I said, y'all want to do that? No. So we decided to pray for it and go get some stop leak on it. And so that's what we did. They went down, David and Matt went down and got some stop leak. They prayed over the stop leak, put it in there. And before they left the next day, that thing had sealed up. So praise God.
Nice. Thank you, Jesus. That's awesome.
Yeah. Y'all heard me tell about the story about this ex-con that I had been teaching in prison. And when he got out, he, you know, he moved close to where I was and got him a little business and got to going, and he was a he built decks and things like that. And then one day he called me. He said, and we were teaching faith. And he called me. And he said, Michael, said, what do I do? He said, my van won't go in reverse. I said, well, put your hand on the dashboard. And he put his hand on the dashboard, and we commanded that reverse to work on it. And I hung up. I said, now, Bill, just believe. I sit there and rest a minute. Y'all calm down. Everything's going to be fine. It's going to work. And he said, okay, I believe it. And so he called me back in about 5 minutes. He said, you don't believe what happened. I said, you're in reverse, and it's going, isn't it? He said, yes. So,
but you're like, of course I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. Lord makes a whole lot better mechanic than I do, I guarantee you.
Amen.
But that's, you know, we've seen that happen a lot. Hey, you know something else? Y'all have heard David talking about the computers being fixed? The Lord fixing computers. Brad had a computer. I'm going to tell his story. Man, it's an awesome story. Brad does the editing on some of the books that go out, and some on the audios too. But he this part that went out was the hard drive that had the books on that he was editing. And one of them was, I don't remember what the name of it was, which one it was, but it was one of the major ones that David has on the site now. It's published. But what had happened, they couldn't get it going. They tried everything. They couldn't get it going. So David said, well, we're just going to have to pray for it because we got to have that stuff. You know, there's a lot of work put into that to get those edited and ready for publication. And so they prayed for it. And David said, now just don't worry about it. Just next time you need to get in there, just go in there and see what happened. And you know what happened? That thing worked. And not only did it work, what wasn't edited was edited.
Nice.
God went ahead and edited what wasn't already edited. And wow. It was awesome. God can do anything.
He's the best proofreader.
That's right.
Talking about, man. And it don't take near about his... him much time to do it as it does us. That's a tedious job, and I sure wouldn't want that. Can y'all see a book coming out that I edited? it'd be pitiful. Woo.
It'd say y'all and them.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure the punctuation would be just fine, too. Oh, my.
You know, one time, I guess it was a couple years back as well, we were out in this ritzy part of the area, and it was getting, I guess, about 6 o'clock at night, and stores were closing on a Sunday, and there was a storm coming in, like, no tomorrow, and driving home, man, one of the windshield wipers completely just stopped, just broke right off. Got one windshield wiper, and it's on her side, going back and forth. So all I can see is I'm driving like this, right, trying to figure out how to turn around. Like how to get into, and I see this little strip mall down here, right? And I pull in, and I get into the strip mall. And I figure out the only thing we can do is just wait out the storm, right? There's not a soul around. I mean, everything's desolate. It's about 6:30 at night. There's a storm everywhere. So we pray about it. And no sooner than about 12, 15 minutes, does this car come from around the front, from around the other side of the strip mall, right? Drives right up to us, like it's going to jump us, you know, from one car to the other, right? And this guy gets out, and, you know, he kind of looks at us, right? And we're like, hey, how's it going? He goes, what woman? Oh, that's what he said, right? And so Tracy and I are just looking at each other like, right. So I get out, and I'm soaked. I get out, and I'm talking to the guy, and I'm trying to explain to him what's going on. But he already knew what was going on. And I couldn't get him to say more than 3 or 4 words, and it was a lot of nods and a lot of smiles. And he just kept instructing me to get back in my car. So, you know, I want to get back. I don't know this guy. You know what I'm saying? This dude's going to show up and just gonna start working on my car in the middle of a rainstorm. Okay. Following back to the back, he's got like a little like Toyota Corolla. All right. And I follow him to the back. He opens up the trunk. He's got a box fan and a brand new windshield wiper, one that fits my car.
Oh.
Right. And he's got like maybe a towel and it's just like folded over or something. Right. That's all that was in the trunk. He gets this out. He goes over there. He installs it on my car. Doesn't give it to me. He installs it on my car and then says, okay, thank you. He gets in this car, and I'm like, well, God bless you. Can I? He wouldn't talk to me, nothing like that. And he got up and then just drove away. That thing stayed on my car for like another, I don't know, maybe another year and a half, another 2 years, something like that. Exact size.
Really?
You know, the Lord will completely meet your needs if you, you know, and it's small things in faith. It's small things in faith in order to understand that he lives inside you. You know, Jesus said that my Father's in me and I'm in my Father. Therefore, you have two witnesses, right? So he lives within you and he'll meet your needs if you just let him.
Amen. So
that, again, it's letting him do stuff, you know, with talking to things that people go, I can't do that. You're right. You can't, but he can. So realize that you're just a vessel and you can do all things through Christ inside you that strengthens your flesh.
Amen. That's good. Awesome. That's what our walk is. It's faith.
Absolutely.
All we do is by faith. Praise God. We call those things that are not as though they were. You heckle? Go. I've done that before. It goes. I had a leak one time in my shop, and I was leaving for work early in the morning, about 4 o'clock. And every morning I'd have to get out there and squeegee out my shop. I got a big shop back in Arkansas, a big 1,500 square foot insulated steel shop. And I had a bathroom in there and a deep sink, and somewhere behind that deep sink in the wall was a leak. And every morning, every time I had to go out and get ready to go to work, I had to squeegee that thing out. One morning I got in there and I kept telling myself, when you get back, I'm going to fix that thing. But I never did have enough time to do it. So one morning I just got sick of doing it. And I said, in the name of Jesus, you will not leak another drop as long as I live in this house, in Jesus' name. And I came back and there was no water on the shop. And it stayed that way for about, I don't know, till I came to Tennessee. As soon as I came to Tennessee, it went back to leaking again. And it stayed dry in there for probably 3 or 4 years. That was awesome.
Man. Praise God. You going to come to our house next or what? We got some leaks.
There what?
I said, we got some leaks at our house. You coming to our house next?
Well, that's the same authority that I've been.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Yeah, that was awesome. God did that for me. I said, man, he'd do anything. And he will. It'd
be nice if we could, you know, just tell the carpet, in the name of Jesus Christ, you're clean. No more vacuuming. It's done. Because one day I'm just going to paint vacuum tracks on the clean stuff and do nothing about it.
Okay. Yeah. I've got carpet inside the bedroom here, and I hate it. You got to vacuum it, just like he's talking about, Jeremy. And if you don't vacuum it, gets like mine. I'm kind of ashamed to anybody to come up here because of it. Because, you know, I got when I, you know what this is? This is a paper hole cutter. Well, those little things are all over the floor. So I don't want to get down there and pick them up one by one, so I'm waiting until I vacuum next year sometime to get it up. Praise God. All right. Who's got a miracle they want to talk about?
Michael.
Yeah, Joe.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I just want to find out, for interest, I'm in South Africa, you're there. Where did your Thanksgiving start?
You're going to have to run that by me again, bud.
Thanks. You guys doing Thanksgiving?
Yeah. Well, we had a fellowship, Joe. We don't call it Thanksgiving, but we were thanking God for the things that he's done for us. That's more or less what we did. Let me tell you something. That day, last Thursday, I sinned. I'm just going to confess it. I ate way too much. Man, I stuffed myself. It was bad, Joe. It was bad, man. I ate turkey and dressing until I had it coming out of my ear. And pies, golly, we had pies and cakes and cookies and all kinds of stuff like that. My goodness, I bet I gained 10 pounds there.
Where does it start? Where did the original Thanksgiving start?
It's the third Thursday of November. Third Thursday of November, which was on the 24th, I think, this year. What you looking at, Stan? You got a drone out there? Oh, calendar. Okay. Praise God. Yeah. Then a lot of things happened in my life. God has done a lot of things. Where's Tracy going? She headed out the door?
She has to go get our son from Boy Scouts. If you leave him there too long, apparently they call CPS.
What does that have to say to you? Boy Scouts?
Yeah, he's at Boy Scouts.
Oh, okay. Well, cool. I was too.
You know, I don't have a problem with that. I don't, but they have the rehearsed prayer to pray to the great scout spirit or something. I just tell them don't take part in that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was fun time for me back when I was a kid. Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody got something else they want to talk about? Yeah, what about a word? Did anybody else get a word? Boy, it's a quiet bunch. Let me read you a little something here I ran across today. Is that all right? We're in this book. Delivered from Dark Powers. Spiritual warfare book that will be published here in the near future. It's a good book. But what I want to read you was this testimony. The light shone. This is chapter 7. And this is one we're on, as a matter of fact, in our Bible studies we have on Wednesday morning. Testimony healed of epilepsy. It said, let the theologians believe their powerless gospel. But God just needs someone with childlike faith in his word to set the captives free. The emails that follow describe victory over epilepsy and other diseases. Email number 1 from a Guatemalan missionary, West, to his brother, Walt. The Lord has put someone in our path who needs his healing. She's around 17 years old with epilepsy. Six years ago, she had a seizure and fell into a fire. She must have been there for quite some time because her feet almost got cooked off. I guess when a fit occurs with somebody with epilepsy, they have no feeling or they can't control anything, right? She must have been there for quite some time because her feet almost got cooked off. She went to a clinic. They carved out some of the burned flesh, leaving her feet resembling stubs. Besides the massive amounts of scar tissue, she has an external ulcer which has not healed from the accident. Yesterday, she came to the orphanage with her mother and sister. We prayed over some hot water and had her soak her foot with the ulcer in it. The raw flesh on the ulcer was yellow like dried pus. After about 45 minutes of soaking, we took out the foot, cleaned it, and wrapped it with a gauze bandage. They came back today for us to change the bandage again. We soaked the foot again to loosen the galls, which was saturated with some type of dried oozing substance. Getting that last part off, which was directly in contact with the ulcer, was difficult because it had adhered quite strongly. And as we pulled it off, we noticed that the once yellow tissue had turned a very healthy pink. The capillaries were so close to the surface that there was a small amount of bleeding. Trevor and I believe that God is healing this girl. Think of Joshua circling Jericho for 7 days before it fell. He would have felt pretty stupid walking around with a trumpet if the Lord hadn't promised him beforehand. The same thing applies here. Please spend time in prayer for her and give David a call, talking about David Eels, asking him to pray also. When Trevor blessed her today, he asked the Lord to make her healing a witness for all those who know her. And truly, this is our hope. I've been wondering if she wasn't demonically possessed with epilepsy. She was thrown into the fire, much like the madman cutting himself with rocks, and the epileptic Jesus healed by casting out the demon. I never like thinking someone has an evil spirit inside of them. And could you ask David if he knows how to determine such a thing? He said in Sovereign God that he has a gift of discernment of spirits. As much as you can help would be greatly appreciated. If somebody's got epilepsy, that's a spirit. Email number 2 from Walt to David Eels. Please pray with me and ask the Lord for a miracle to heal this young girl down in Guatemala. From David to Walt. We will pray and agree with you. Epilepsy is a demon spirit. And then he quotes Matthew 17 and 15 through 20. He says, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is epileptic and suffereth grievously. For oft times he falleth into the fire, just like this little girl, and oft times into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they cannot cure him. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked him, and the demon went out of him, and the boy was cured from that hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast it out? And he saith unto them, because of your little faith. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, and that's small, that's real small, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. And then David asked, is the girl a Christian? If so, she has a covenant right to deliver us because it is the children's bread. If not, only God can give permission to cast out. Otherwise, the demons will just come back worse. Ask her to confess her sin. And my suggestion is to ask those involved to pray for discernment of spirits. Demons rarely act alone. Gather several people with faith, preferably filled with the Holy Spirit, and command the demons to come out in Jesus' name. And then believe that they have to obey because Jesus gave us total authority over the demon. Matthew 16 and 17, and these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. Don't believe whatever they say because they often lie. Ask them to believe to heal and restore her body. Jesus paid for that too. Galatians 3 and 13. And then he quotes that. He quotes Psalms 103 and 1. He quotes Matthew 8 and 16. And then he quotes Acts 3 and 12 through 16. And then Acts 5, 16. So I'm just going to go right to the heart of what happened. Emails 5 and 6 between Wes and David. And it's kind of like a question and answer thing here. Wes says, hi. Walt forwarded your email about the girl with epilepsy to me. She, her mother, and sister are staying with us now. The open ulcer on her foot is getting better every day. David says, praise God. Let's continue to believe for a total restoration of the foot. God is big. We shouldn't underestimate him. Wes says, 2 nights ago, I couldn't go to sleep, although it was 1 o'clock a.m., and I was exhausted. I decided to go downstairs and work on a paper I was writing. I was using a computer program to search for text. I can't remember which words I was searching, but I came upon the story in the book of Matthew about the epileptic. Now, this might sound very strange to you, but I'm almost certain that I read the word epileptic from the King James Version. It wasn't until the next day when I read it again that I realized they had actually translated the word as lunatic in the King James Version. Could it be that the Lord actually had me read epileptic instead because of this girl? David says, excuse me, absolutely, Wes. God has done such things as that to me also. I have heard people tell me things that I needed to hear. Later, I questioned them as to why they said it. And I would then be told by the person and everyone around them that they had actually said something totally unrelated. Wes said, what struck me most about the story was when the father said to Jesus, have mercy on my son, for he is epileptic and suffereth grievously, for oft times he falleth into the fire. That's exactly what happened to this girl. 6 years ago, her mother left the house and went to town to get something from the store. They live in complete poverty in a village a few miles from here. The girl usually woke up later in the morning, so her mother felt it was safe to leave early. When she came back, she found her daughter laying in the fire, the flesh completely cooked on 1 foot and third-degree burns on the other. And after I read those verses, I wondered if this girl had an evil spirit. Their stories are so similar. David said, she has an epileptic spirit and possibly more. Wes says, I don't know exactly what I should be looking for. I feel uneasy about making a judgment as to whether someone does have a demon. Listen, most folks do have demons, okay? Anyway, the next morning, my wife went to use the internet. She printed out your email that Walt forwarded to me. She didn't mention it. She just left it folded on the desk. I opened it up and read it. I knew immediately that God had given me a second witness so that I could be sure. I still have a lot of questions about what to do. I've never been in a position like this. I prayed last night that God would give me the discernment of spirits, but I don't really know what it means. I know that God has brought this girl to us, not only because of her foot, because of this spirit afflicting her. I have a good friend down here with me who is strong in the faith. He could stand with me. And this is strange territory for me. Is all I need to do is command the spirit of epilepsy to leave in the name of Jesus? That was a question he had. David said, you need to know that you have authority to do this. Demons know when you have faith, and that is the only condition on your part. And then David quotes Mark 16 and 15 through 17 and Luke 10 and 19 and 20, which that's the authority that God gave us. And David said, it would be good to make sure she is a Christian and get her to confess her sins. James 5 and 16, confess therefore your sins one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The supplication of a righteous man availeth much in its working. Okay, and then he goes back to Wes, says, should I expect the demon to say something before it leaves? David, not necessarily. But if the Holy Spirit moves you to command them to give their names, do it, Wes. What if she just sits, Wes says, what if she just sits there silently? Doesn't it mean my faith isn't great enough? These are good questions. I've had these questions before. They don't always, David says, they don't always come out immediately. but you don't have to hang around until you see something. Walk by faith. Just know that they have to obey you. West says, should I ask how many spirits are in her? David says, if you feel to, so ask. Yes. Wes says, how can I believe them if they did tell me? I wouldn't want to leave one in there. Good question. David says, they will obey you if you command them to, and if you command them to tell their name, unless there is a mute spirit. In email number 7 from Wes to David, it says, the spirit of epilepsy has left the girl. A pastor, his church, and I prayed over her. The spirit never responded, but the girl began to thank the Lord and cry. She finally fell down after about 5 minutes. She was as dead, like the scripture speaks about the epileptic boy. In the midst of this sleep, she started to praise God very loudly and then went back under. It was very strange to me, nothing like I expected. And she went to bed shortly after she awoke. The next morning, she and her mother were talking about the medicine she takes to fight off the epilepsy. Her mother told her, the devil is tempting us to not believe. Then they threw the medicine away. And she is perfectly fine now. Her face looks different. Her eyes are more alert. And these people are such awesome witnesses of faith to me. They cannot even read the Bible, but they understand the gospel more than educated American Christians. Thank you very much for replying to my other email. All the information was very useful. Now here's one from Dave to Wes. Praise the Lord. See how simple it is? That poor girl would have suffered the rest of her life if she had not run into someone like you who was willing to stand in faith. Sometimes the demon will try to come back by temporarily putting a symptom on you. When you accept it, he has permission to reinvade. Tell a girl and her mom to never accept it back. They have authority over the demons. Now just pray and believe for the restoration of her foot. Jesus paid for a complete healing. The reason I read that, because that kind of incorporates everything that happens to somebody that's demon possessed with a certain type of demon. If you don't tell them to rebuke that demon when it tries to come back on them, you know, and he does it by the symptoms that comes back on them. Some people will allow that symptom to come back on them and they'll say, well, I just didn't get healed. I don't get. No, you just rebuke it because that's God testing your faith. It's almost every time that demon will go out there and do a wheelie and he'll come right back on you and try to tell you that you wasn't healed. But you have to be faithful and just rebuke it and it'll be done. And you'll get complete healing. I've seen it happen both ways. Prayed for a lady, that had cancer. Bill, you know where, that little Baptist church is? They're close to you there on Remington. I forget the name of it. Right there before you get to the highway on the right, coming from Cabot, Robertson Baptist Church. And there was a lady in there that had cancer. And she was in a lot of pain. They had her doped up. And she was in a lot of pain. And they had told me about it. Some of the people had told me about it. And the Lord had me in that Baptist church on Wednesday nights teaching faith. Now, that was strange in a Baptist church teaching faith, but that's what the Lord had me doing. And anyway, one Sunday they were talking about her and they were praying about her in the church. Of course, they were praying if it be God's will and all that kind of stuff. And after the service, I told Lord told me to go over and pray for her. And so he said, and grab the preacher, grab the pastor, and grab the youth pastor, and take them with you. I said, okay. And the people lived in Lone Oak, which is a town just down the road from there. And we went down there. I grabbed the pastor. I said, come on, we're going to go pray for that lady. And I grabbed the youth pastor, took him with us. We went down there, and that woman was in there. And she was telling me, I said, what's the matter, hon? She said, I've got whatever it was cancer. And it was, she said, I'm in so much pain, I can't even lift my brand new granddaughter. Said, I haven't been able to do that. I said, well, you ready to do that? Because God's fixing to heal you. She said, I sure am. Said, I said, well, in the name of Jesus, I command that cancer to go from you. I command the pain to stop. And I command that spirit of death off of you right now in Jesus' name. She jumped up. She grabbed that granddaughter hers, and that the party was on, brother. I'll tell you, God healed her right there completely. But what happened? That Baptist doctrine got back in. I had to leave that church after a while. You can't preach what goes against the Baptist doctrine very long and expect to stay there. But anyway, after I left, I found out later that she'd had a relapse and couldn't fight it, you know. That's what happens. You got to understand that God's testing your faith, and you got to warn the people when you pray for them that, look, you have to stand and endure in your faith to the end to see it happen, to see the complete manifestation of the healing. And God will do it. And I'll tell you something else. You'll see a lot more people if you warn them after you do that. I've seen many cancers, terminal cancers, God healed completely. And they're still living. But there's some that don't. And the reason why is they allow family members, or they allow friends to talk them back out of being healed. You know, I had one lady over in Memphis. God completely healed that woman, and the doctors couldn't even find nothing wrong with her. They said, I can't see nothing. I can't see any cancer at all in your body. But just in case, he told her, he said, just in case, let's do another chemotherapy. And I said, for goodness sake, her family and friends had talked her to go back to the doctor, and it killed her. The chemo killed her. It wasn't the cancer. So you have to endure in your faith to the end. And be sure to warn the people once you pray for them to do that. Amen. Anybody else got a like story?
Well, do you mind if I add to that a little bit?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
You know, folks, it says in James, start of James 4:7, to submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And just like Brother Mike's talking about right here. If you resist him when he comes back, you have to resist him because he will come back. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. The problem that we have here is that we fail to properly discern the Lord's body correctly, right? And so the same thing that got us in that problem comes right back because we don't understand that we're being destroyed from within by people who are destroyed through lack of knowledge. We don't understand that when we judge the Lord's body, that judgment comes right back on us if we don't judge righteously by his word. If we're judging out of the flesh, works of the flesh, he's going to give it right back to us. All right. And that's not loving your neighbor as yourself. That's placing your throne amongst the stars. You're like the Most High. Right. So cancer, you're going to get all that stuff come right back to you. If you get healed from that, the Lord's gracious enough because he gives mercy and compassion to whom he chooses. Right. And if he's gracious enough to do that for you, you have to, it says actually here, draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And that's really where it is. It's a self-sacrifice. If you know, we prayed for a lot of people several times, and I agree. I prayed for a woman, man, and I was young. I was a pretty young Christian at the time. Didn't understand really the power of the Holy Spirit that's within you. And there was a woman that was confessing all of her sins, but the main thing the Lord told me to go after was the addiction to cigarettes, as she was confounding her. And so I prayed, and you know, I prayed for her to have that done. She took her, you know, and when I did that, the Lord said, "Now heal her lungs." And I saw inside, I just saw a picture of her lungs with tar all over it. And so I started praying and rebuking that tar, commanding it to dissolve. And I could feel myself getting kind of lighter, like, and then I later on realized the virtue right, had gone out of Jesus when that woman touched him, right? And at that point, I realized that. But you know what? She threw away her cigarettes, and even though she did that, she lasted about 3 or 4 days. And ultimately, she couldn't resist the peer pressure from people at the bus stop and whatnot that kept asking her if she wanted a cigarette. See, she understood she can resist it by herself, but it was the peer pressure, much like the woman that got talked back into going to the doctor to be told she still has cancer. See, when he opened that up, he was talking about the boy that was thrown back and forth into the fire and into the water, right? Well, if you look at that, one of the notable parts of it that is the faith of the grain of mustard seed. The father actually asked Jesus, he says, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." And therein lies our problem. We don't believe. When we don't believe, then ultimately we're subject to the enemy, because that's unbelief. Hebrews 3 will tell you, lest you be turned over to an evil heart of unbelief, right? Harden not your hearts to the day of provocation. Provocation, the Antichrist, lack of Christ, replacement for Christ, the spirit of the world. That's where you're at. If we're in conform to the world and we love our life unto death and we haven't given it over, then we can't possibly know who lives inside us, because we're still fashioned to our idols. That's just the way that is. And when we start letting go of that stuff, man, it doesn't matter how much you throw away. Yeah, sure, go throw it away. If you can't resist it, go throw it away. But, you know, it's a heart matter. It's really a heart matter. And it's about Jesus, you know, knows your heart. Our Lord assesses our heart, doesn't assess what you got in your home. Now, if you got, you know, all sorts of, you know, satanic stuff, witchcraft, you know, all sorts of obviously sin stuff, yes, get rid of that. But the devil will bring you into condemnation. He'll bring you into bondage. You'll suffer a spirit of bondage, into fear, to throw everything away. I mean, everything. The devil can have you. He'll have you shaved with your head shaved, living like a monk, you know. But that's not what it's about, because we're not carnal. Carnality is enmity with God. So I'm not trying to take up your time. I'm just telling you specifically that exactly what Brother Michael's saying, if you allow the devil to come back and tell you that you have what you were just released from, whoever the Son sets free is free indeed, then you don't believe. Believe, he's freed you. Don't look past the salvation of the cross. I look backwards for my salvation, but I don't go back before Jesus told us, because he became the curse. So you're not subject to all that stuff of the law. You know, we're only subject to that if we accept it. Why accept it? You know, and the best way, when I was coming in, before I really understood, the way I can explain that better between the two covenants, because I see a lot of people tithing, a lot of people doing this and that, and they bring elements of the law into the new covenant. I'm not trying to switch the subject or nothing, but it helped me understand this, and I just feel led to tell you. If you've ever worked anywhere and you have an SOP, a standard operating procedure, and then later on it gets revised for whatever reason. Maybe they found that this process doesn't work correctly. That's all it is. That's the new covenant versus the old covenant. Now, if you go to your work and you try to use the old covenant, right? You try to use the old SOP, it doesn't work anymore. You don't have that equipment. So you stay with the new SOP. Everything else has been annulled. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. There's something else too, Jeremy, that I'm sure you've run across as well. Cancer generally has come upon somebody for unforgiveness. Generally is a root cause of cancer. And you have to minister to them and show them and ask them to forgive all from their heart, not from just their mind, but from their heart. And because if they don't, that stuff comes right back on if they don't get rid of that unforgiveness in their heart. And there's a book out. Somebody mentioned it last week by, I'm thinking the guy's name was Wright. And it has...
Henry Wright.
Yeah. What's the name of the book?
Good Day.
Well, it associates diseases with certain sins, and it's a good handy book to have around. It's a real thick book, and it's not a whole lot of easy reading, but it gives you a tool to, you know, you can probably go online and find it online somewhere in a PDF form.
But it works in a way.
Do what?
called A More Excellent Way. Sorry.
Yeah, that's it. That's one of them, yeah. But it's really interesting how he associates it. He was an MD, actually, and associated the sin with the disease. And so he had great success in casting those demons out. Amen. Anybody else? What do you think, David? Put you on the spot, bud.
I was thinking about a girl I prayed for once. She was actually her sister and her brother-in-law would take her for walks, and she was probably early 40s, and she was really small, maybe about not even quite 4 foot high, and she had some, you could tell she was mentally disabled, but she also had some other issues going on, and I would always say hi to these people because I'd pass them on the trail just walking and just be nice, and I'd try to get a feel spiritually kind of how they were. And I got the feeling one day that, you know, I could, you know, talk to them about praying for her sister. I just said, you guys are Christians, right? And she says, well, yes. But I think they were Catholic, so they didn't really have a lot of faith in this. But so I said, well, you know, because I got talking about, you know, her sister a little bit, because she lived with them, the one that was not too well. And I said, well, I just started kind of questioning a little bit about her. And she said, they said, well, she has this and she has that. And she said they have dementia. And I said, oh, okay. I said, well, let's just pray about that right now. You want to just pray about that, cast the dementia off, okay? We want to do that in the name of Jesus. We agree on that. The Lord will honor that. So they said, okay, you know, because this is something new, just strange you're going to pray for right on a walking trail. So we prayed about it, and then my brother-in-law was with me at the time, and he's from a religious kind of a spirit denomination. He kind of went along with it, you know, and because they're all there, what can they do? So we cast that dementia off, and I said, we blessed him as we went by and said, you know, have a good day, and took off, and my brother-in-law says, wow, I can't believe you just prayed for these people out of nowhere. And I says, oh, well, I said, that's, you know, I just kind of follow what I had in my heart. And I said, it's okay. I said, I mentioned that, who was that one guy that said something about if he had to pray 100 times for somebody and 99 times it didn't work, but that one time out of the 99 it did, he would pray the 100 times to make sure he at least made the effort and the prayer went throughout. And I said, you know, that's where we have to be when we're praying for people and going out and meeting. I mean, you may not come up across people that have the faith in order to receive what we're going to ask and pray for, but we still make the effort. We still pray and we're exposing them to this. And that was my conversation with him. And, you know, the next week I did see them and I said, hey, how are you guys doing? He said, oh, she's doing much better. The dementia is gone now. But she still had her other issues. But, you know, still, it was just all of us together agreeing that this dementia had to go and cast off the name of Jesus. And it was a sure deal. And I told him about that when I saw him. But that's, you know, you just kind of basically follow the lead of your heart. And the Lord will honor. It's not us. It's the Lord doing the work. You know, didn't feel anything, but it just going by faith.
Amen. Amen. By the way, Jeremy put up a link. Is that for that Henry Wright book? Yeah, that's that. I think that's that Henry Wright book on the chat thing there if y'all were interested in it. Instead of Amazon.
I did a search. Looks like you can find it on PDF too. You might be able to download it for free if you do a PDF search.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and also you can buy a lot of these books in a used store too, like Thrift Books or something like that. I found a lot of the books that I go out and look for in those used bookstores and pay about a third of the price that you generally pay for, like $3.50 or something like that for a used book. And I've never gotten one that wasn't in good shape. Lakeisha, are you cold? Okay. You're always cold. You're like me. They complain at me because I get that fire going downstairs, and it's liable to be 80, 85 in here, and that's the way I like it. Praise God. Well, all right. Does anybody got anything they'd like to share? We're kind of running down here. I see your hand. Is that your phone? Okay. All right. How many of your own phones? Bill's own phone. Lakeisha's own. I guess that's all. Well, of course, the ones that don't have a picture are on as well. Well, okay. What do y'all want to get a word for Thursday night? Anybody thought about it? Barbara put a link on there to a YouTube about an hour and 20 minutes long to hear Henry Wright. And about 40 minutes, another one is 40 minutes into a seminar of some sort. Anyway, anybody got anything they'd like to share? You know what happens when I put this thing on, watch it. There, y'all can't see me no more. Man, I can pick my nose and scratch my back. But I won't do that. That book, spiritual warfare book that they're working on now to be published. Oh, by the way, there's a new book on site. Sanctification, the Four Blessings, just got published, and it's on the site. So if you want to order it, today's best day to do it. You got 40% off today. Y'all get my email? Everybody get my email? 40% off on Lulu. I ain't never seen it that high before. That's a good buy if you're interested in some books.
That's today?
That's today. Today only. 40% off. Type in David if you want to order some, type in Cyber 40. Yes, Cyber 40 right behind it. Where it says coupon code.
And I thought that was for yesterday.
They extended it to today.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. They did. They extended it for today.
Okay.
Cyber 40. Go ahead, Judy. Can't hear you. Unmute it. There you go.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. Also, Are You Following a Wolf is pretty new.
What?
Are You Following a Wolf? Isn't that it, the name of it?
I'm not following a wolf. Are you following a wolf?
No, but isn't that the name of the book?
Okay. Is that been added too?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So there's two new ones on the site. Cyber 40. That ought to get you in there. Thank you, Judy. Judy's a real big woman. She's about 4'11". Standing on her tiptoes. But we love her. Well, we're running out of time here. Has anybody got anything they'd like to add or pray about before we, let me unmute everybody. Before we get going here, before we close out.
Why did he go to all the fishermen and call them all to be disciples? Why did he choose and pick out some and leave the rest behind?
Is that you, Wade?
Because Jesus was listening to the voice of
the Spirit,
that's you.
Telling them which ones the Father.
It's not me.
Of course, was it nothing that was not of the Father?
That's right. But see, we can't even relate to
that. If it is, I don't know what's on.
This is Black Friday.
I sound like I'm hearing TV or radio or something.
Everything's going fast, it's going cheap.
I can't hear it. Let me turn up my speaker, maybe.
As possible. We want, you know, we got to clear out this season.
Well, let's pray.
In the new line.
I'm going to shut it down.
To religion into Christianity. But if we study scriptures, that's not the way God.
That's not you.
Well, I don't know, Brother Danny, you know, but I do know, though, is that when God started ministering his word to me.
Ah, that was Jeremy. Okay, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you for tonight. Conference call, our fellowship, Lord, and I ask that you bless everybody with a good night's sleep. Bless them also, Lord, with dreams and visions about the things that are fixing to happen, Lord. We'd like to hear about it. We'd like to know what you have planned, Lord. And we know in part and we see in part, but you give us all the parts, Lord, we'll know a little bit more. And we thank you for it, Lord. We praise you for the work you're doing in us. Thank you, Lord, for getting us ready for the time ahead. And we just praise you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.